miraculous power is in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because we gave glory to you this morning. And Lord, we continue to give glory to you and what you have done in this hour, knowing that these are just special things for me. But I know each and every one of your children has those things in their hearts. And so, Lord, maybe if we put them all in a book, we'd have the book of Acts again, the Alpha and the Omega. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, it's good to see you, Joan. And now we're going to look at the 20th time, actually 22nd time, I witnessed God's supernatural presence. And it was in 1997. And I was holding service in church down in Kentucky when I asked to pray for several people in the church who had gotten sick from the extreme heat we had felt all week. Now, I know there's a... I could name them by name, but I just won't do that for the sake of them. But for 6 days, there had been no rain, and the temperatures were over 100 degrees, 102 to be exact, on that Sunday. The temperatures had been around 100 for 6 days, and there seemed to be no end in sight. The official forecast said that it would be that way for another week or so. My prayer was a simple one. I asked the Lord, seeing that those were his children, not mine, that I was asking him to change the weather by 30 degrees for their sake. After church, we went out to eat at a local restaurant. Afterwards, after we were finished, which was about 45 minutes, we walked outside, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw a funny small cloud shaped like a man's fist freely floating through the sky. It was a completely black cloud, but it was only real small, you know. And I turned to the brothers and said, it reminds me like in the days of Elijah when he looked up and saw the cloud like a fist. And he said, I hear the abundance of rain. So I said to the brothers, brothers, something is about to happen. Then from there, we went to Lowe's to look for carpet for Michael and Helena, who were going to move to the back of the church from New Jersey. So Michael and I were looking at carpet. And I told them we don't buy on Sunday, but we can look. And so we were looking at carpet they had available. But since we did not know purchasing on Sunday, we were just there to look. And suddenly the power in the building went off, and the backup emergency power came on. I said, something is happening outside. We went to the front of the store and walked outside. And there was a black cloud as far as the eye could see from east to west. It was about 1 mile high and about 1 mile thick. It was traveling very fast, and within an hour, the temperature had dropped from 102 degrees to between 70 to 72 degrees that we had asked for. Now, God certainly answered our prayers. He dropped the temperature by 30 degrees that we had asked for. After that, my telephone rang off the hook all the rest of the day with people in the church remembering our prayer. And all I could say was, well, what do you expect when you ask God for something in prayer? He does it. And, you know, and then I think I quoted, I said, you know, he said, if you ask for a fish, or if you ask for a fish, he wouldn't give you a stone. And if you ask for a fish, he wouldn't give you a serpent. And if you ask for bread, he wouldn't give you a stone. So, you know, you get what you ask for. All right. Well, anyway, so, you know, if you think about the amount of the megatonnage of power that brought about that storm, because that storm was like a bulldozer and it pushed all the hot air out and just brought in cool air. All right. Well, the 21st time I was witness to the power of God was in 1999. I went to Australia to hold meetings, and we held meetings in the pastor's home. He had a young boy who was deaf, I believe it was Jonathan, and I felt led to offer prayer for him. And we prayed for him in the church service and then thought nothing about it afterwards. The next day, his aunt was vacuuming her house and thought it strange that her vacuum cleaner sounded so loud. Then she took her daughter to school and remarked, there must be something wrong with the car as it's so loud. When she got home, her telephone rang and one of her sisters was on the other line. And she remarked, there must be something wrong with my phone because it's so loud. And finally, she said to the sister, just a minute. Do I always talk this loud? And when she realized then that she had been praying so intensely for her nephew, to be healed, that actually God healed her. And, you know, because I had laid hands on him the other night, and that she must have received the healing instead of him. Well, praise God for his wonderful power. She had been diagnosed for 25 years with industrial hearing loss, which means her hearing was, she could hear, but it was very, it's like she had her fingers in her ears, you know, or she had earplugs on because she couldn't hear very good. And now all of a sudden she's hearing perfect. So we thank the Lord for that, and she was healed. Now, the 22nd time I witnessed the power of God was in July of 1999. We had visited Doc Cash's church in Tennessee and preached for his church. And a young man in his church had cut down some, basically it looked like bamboo, but it was just a stick. And if you just, let me just bring it out. But this stick, and Peter, I want you to feel how light the stick is. Okay, it's very light. All right, if anybody else wants to touch it later, that's fine. But, so this is what the stick looks like. And what happened was a young man in his church had cut down some trees next to Doc's house and had made walking sticks for him. So I thought that was kind of nice. So I asked him for a couple of those sticks for myself, that I too might make walking sticks. So when I got it home in November, it was in July, I debarked it. You can see there's no bark on this thing. I took my knife and just kind of scraped them all. Scraped it all down as smooth as I could. And anyway, this stick lay in my garage for July, August, September, October, November, and then in November something happened. Okay, and I'll tell you about that. So anyway, so that's 5 months in November. And it was, we were down there for July 4th weekend. So, you know, so it was the full month of July. Now, in November, I went out of town for a business trip to Long Island, New York. And while I was gone, the police come to the front door and asked my wife if she had anything, had seen anything out of the ordinary, as they found a man rolled up in carpet a couple of miles from our house at Highway 71, the exit up the road. Well, when the police left, she went in the garage and found this debarked stick, this walking stick, and stuck it under my bed on my side of the bed. She wanted something to defend herself with if somehow someone tried to break into the house while I was gone. Well, when I got home, she told me about the visit from the police, but forgot to mention the stick. For the next 5 months, I slept on the stick, or over the stick, which I knew not was under my body, because there was a bed skirt on our bed which kept out any light from being able to see under the bed. In late March, the week before Easter, I was vacuuming under my bed and I heard a clunk. I reached under the bed and pulled out this walking stick. And it was growing right here and here. It was growing. You can see the knot, and you can see the knot on that side. It was growing. It had a leaf that came out this far, and about that much of it was like a shoot for a branch, and then the leaf was there. So on both sides of the stick, it grew just like in the book of the, you know, in the Bible, when Moses had left his stick in the holiest of holies, or Levi did, and when he came back the year later, it grew two limbs. All right, so basically, it was growing two shoots with a leaf on each side of the shoot forming a cross. I asked my wife about it. And she told, you know, I wonder if I would have had put that in water, and it would have grown out a full two big branches, you know. But anyway, but they were small. But it reminded me, anyway, of Aaron's rod that he left in the holiest of holies for a year, and it budded, okay? So I kind of kept that, you know, I've kept it in my study ever since, because I think it's kind of testimony that the power of God is still with us in this hour. Now, the 18th time I was witness to the power of God, it was 2006, and I went to Rwanda to hold meetings. A brother wanted to take my camera and take some pictures. These are the knots here, by the way. But anyway, a brother wanted to take my camera and take some pictures of the ministers with me in them. He didn't know that if you hold down the button, it would take a continuous picture of four or five pictures. You know, if you just hold down, it would tick, 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 right? So he thought he was just clicking to take one picture, but held the button down and took four shots in about less than a second. Well, these are the four shots that took place within a second, okay? The first shot you see here, there's a light. Now, that could be explained. You know, if you were carnal, you would say, well, that's just a glare from the camera's flash. But I didn't have a flash. It was one of those old cameras that took JPEG pictures. They were not even, I think they're like three or 400. They certainly weren't the megapixels like we have today, okay? So anyway, the second shot, you can see here, that the light, which was above here, above his head here, was now descending. All right? The second shot showed the light that began descending down in the middle of the ministers, right, and at their head in the last row. And, you know, to be honest with you, when I got back, I just kind of took my discs and I downloaded everything to my computer and I just kind of left it. And one day I was looking at mission pictures and I said, what are these? And it was like 10 years later, and I saw, wow, this is something that God did, and I didn't even know he was doing it, okay? The third picture, you can see the lights on my shoulder. It descended among the ministers and sat on my left shoulder. Then the fourth picture showed the light completely covering my body, and the only thing that you see was my Bible, all right? So it's just completely got me. You can see my Bible in my hand, but the rest of me is all completely white, so... Anyway, the 23rd time I witnessed the power of God was in 2006 after our meeting in Rwanda, and we went straight from there to Rukungiri. There we held a Sunday meeting for everyone, but on Monday we held the first of our minister meetings for Western Uganda and Eastern Congo. And we began at 9 o'clock sharp, and by 9:05 something took place. Well, the winds began and were so strong, and the rain was so swift, with large raindrops about this size, mixed with hailstones the size of golf balls. I could not even hear myself preach, even though they had no sound system, so I had to teach the 35 pastors assembled using just my voice. Now, their church was actually bigger than this church, okay? It was probably about maybe, well, if we included our foyer, it would be that size, okay? So it was a bigger church, but they didn't have electricity in the church, and I was just projecting my voice, but I couldn't hear myself at this point even speak, okay? So I went to sit down. But since the rain was so loud, along with the fierce winds rattling and wobbling the roof metal, I walked over to the side where about that window's at, and I began to sit down. Then something happened. Before I was halfway to the log bench, something spoke to me and said, "Have not I sent you?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, you did send me." And he said, "Then take charge of the meetings." Now, I didn't hear this audibly, but I did hear it audibly, all right, if you know what I mean. I didn't hear it with my ears, but I heard it with my inner ear, all right? Now, so I had no clue what to do in order to take charge of the situation. I mean, here we got a huge storm outside. So I started immediately walking to the pulpit. And my first step was my left foot. And it, as I began to step forward, and I had a mental vision. My eyes were wide open, but I saw about a 30-second viewing of Jesus in the boat. Now, I can't tell you that I saw it with my eyes, because my eyes were open, I could see everybody there. But I saw it with my mind. So I call it a daydream or a mental vision, because that's what we have when we're kids, when we think we're fishing, but we're actually in class and we're supposed to be learning our spelling or something. But I had what was called a mental vision. My eyes were wide open, but I saw about a 30-second viewing of Jesus in the boat. It seemed like 30 seconds, but it only lasted a half of a second. Now, explain that. I can't explain that. Time was just sped up. Just saw the whole thing. I saw the waves were beating upon the boat, and the rain was coming down. And there Jesus was asleep in the boat. But his disciples were afraid, and so they woke him, and Jesus raised up, and he said, "Peace be still," and the storm abated. I had been teaching the ministers about Jesus' relationship with his Father. All right. Then, as I was ready to take my second step with my right foot again, I had about another 30-second viewing, which seemed to take but half of a second. I saw William Brand running around a tree in Colorado after the huge storm stopped, and this squirrel was chattering, and he was, you know, he was just glorifying God. Well, the next four steps to the pulpit, the devil was on my back, and I could hear him saying to me, "You will be making a fool of yourself." And I could only think of a man who had a billboard sign on him that when he approached you, he said, "I'm a fool for Christ." And when you turned your head to see what was behind him, the billboard said, "Whose fool are you?" Now, when I was in 1974, maybe it's 75, yeah, 74, I was at the Rose Bowl, and I attended the Rose Bowl, and but I had walked down through Los Angeles, and I saw a man with a billboard on that said one thing about Christ and then the other thing about Christ. So it reminded me of the same thing. So I approached the pulpit and thought, all I can do is what my older brother Jesus and what William Branham and other older brother did before me, but Jesus was the oldest. And I told the brothers, "Let's bow our heads in prayer." I then told Satan his stinger was pulled out of Calvary, and that although he was the prince and power of the air, yet because Calvary, at Calvary's stinger was pulled out, then he was just a bluff. And I said, "I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God." Now, can you imagine sitting in a church and the minister saying that, and then all of a sudden the storm stopping? All right, but it did. I then said, "I command this storm to stop in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And within seconds it stopped, and we have it on film. And we continued our meetings, and it was so quiet, all you could hear was a drip, drip, and then another drip as the water emptied off the roof. We continued on for another 3.5 hours until we broke for lunch. At that time, I walked outside and looked out to the west, and then to the north, then to the south, and then around the building to the east, and all I could see was storm clouds everywhere I looked, and then something said, "Look up." When I did, I saw a hole in the clouds like God had then had taken a cookie cutter 1 mile in circumference and pulled out the middle of the storm clouds, okay? That's all it looked like to me. It looked like we were setting in the eye of a tornado, like a storm. Then we got into the car, drove to our hotel to have lunch, and we had to drive into the fury of the storm. We ran and tried to dodge the raindrops, and there ate a lunch to the sounds of pounding rain and wind. It was the worst lunch I've ever had. Then, and not the food itself, but the atmosphere. Then we ran back to the car, drove back to the church about 3 kilometers to peace and quiet. All right. Then the hole closed up, 24. Okay, I begin to preach the second sermon on the Father and Son and sons, showing how we were to conduct our lives after the pattern of the firstborn Son of God. About 30 minutes, and the hole closed up, and the storm returned with all of its fury. The raindrops, the hail-sized, golf ball-sized stones resumed. The wind seemed to want to lift the roof off, and so I said, "Brothers, let's bow our heads." I knew that if I prayed again, God would honor my prayer, but something said, "I want the other ministers to pray this time, for they also are sons. And if you only pray, then they will want to make you more than just their brother. They will try to make you like my prophet." So I said, "Brothers, God wants you to pray this time, for you are also sons." And he told me, "If I pray alone, you will want to make me more than just your brother." So we prayed like only African brothers can pray. And you know what happened? We got the same results that we had gotten earlier when I prayed. And we continued to teach until 5 p.m. without any more distractions. Now, the 25th time I was witness to the power and presence of God, it was in 2007. And I found myself on another missionary trip to Congo and Congo DRC. The episode was when I was preaching in Mbanza Nyungu. The first day we began with a television broadcast to the people of Mbanza Nyungu, invited them to the meetings. Then we proceeded to the church where we held a meeting for the church people. And I was very upset by the music. It was not orderly, but rather much chaos was involved. They sang and played music for almost 2 hours, having a bongo competition between two brothers that lasted only over about 20 minutes. Now, if you can imagine, off to your right, you could almost reach them. Two fellows going away at the bongos, you know, and having a competition. I mean, it was just, the pastor had a ball, had seven balls, because they had been seven Thunders believers. They had seven balls. I don't know if that's because they had seven, but I guess it is, because the pastor got up later and said, "I want to apologize. Our music is wrong because, you know, we sat under a certain minister, and that's how we learned our music was from him." And of course, he was from the United States, and he should have known better. Well, I noticed some sisters had danced in the aisles, and finally, when the music stopped and I approached the pulpit, those sisters were all wore out and slouching in their chairs. So I rebuked the church and told them the music was to be reverent and quiet, creating a soul-searching experience. The next day, at the minister's meeting, the pastor came forth first and apologized for the music the night before, and told the ministers not to be angry with me for rebuking them, for they had never been taught better. Then he turned the service over to me, and I taught on the relationship between God and his firstborn son, Jesus, and his other sons. Now, suddenly there was a clamor of excited voices, and you could hear on the outside of the church. And what had happened was, when I began to preach, a rainbow was seen for about 500 meters away, hanging only 10 meters above the ground, and was heading for the church. It got to the neighbor's property where the sisters were preparing the minister's lunch, and then paused for about 10 minutes. That is when the clamor of voices could be heard outside. Then it moved on, it settled over the church, and you can see the picture up on the screen, and this is just one of many. It was actually the guy that was filming the meetings inside, he then was told about it, so he then stopped filming the meetings and he went outside and he took pictures of what was going on. He was a Baptist man and said, "I'd never seen anything, I'd never witnessed anything like this." Well, then the rainbow, which was vertical, okay, that's straight across, it in shape, it proceeded to hang above the church, still remaining at 30 feet above the ground and only about 3 meters above the church peak, okay? Like we have a peak up here. It held its position above the church for about 25 minutes and was soon joined by another vertical rainbow. When that second rainbow joined to the first rainbow, it became in a bowl shape and it held for another 20 minutes and then was joined by a third rainbow that was joined to the first two. And when it did join, it became a full circle hanging over the church until my sermon was over, then it disappeared. The surprising thing is this was done in the dry season, of which there was no rain and only a few clouds floating by. One of the sisters commented, "Look, it's a rainbow." And another sister said, "It can't be a rainbow, this is a dry season. It must be the pillar of fire." All right, that's exactly what Brother Branham called it in the Message of Grace. When he talked about those three rainbows, he said it was a pillar of fire, and he said it was the most outstanding manifestation of God's presence in my entire ministry. Well, and then the Holy Spirit spoke out to Brother Branham and said, "The reason for the rainbow is that I'm showing you that what you have preached for the last 30 years is the truth." Well, then I would say that, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the rainbow was there because I was saying what Brother Branham was saying. Now, the 26th time I was witness to the power of God was in 2002, but I was not made aware until about 8 years ago. I preached in Stephen Abali's church in Uganda, and a couple approached me in the prayer line. They were married 8 years at the time and could not have children. I laid hands on them and asked my Father God to give them children. 8 years later, I was informed by a pastor, Brother Moses, Swaga Moses Belita, pastor there, that God has now blessed them with four children. I even had to be reminded by the pastor that I had laid hands on them and I prayed for them, because, you know, you forget things. You know, so many people come through the prayer lines. Well, that is the same time, the same service that we had the four people with TB that I didn't find out till today that nobody has died from TB in that church in 21 years since then. And yet we prayed for four people with TB that had, their doctors had told them that they were confirmed TB, you know, had TB. So I just say that, you know, our minds don't even comprehend all the things that God has done for us. But, you know, every one of you could give times in your life where God has been done something supernatural and you can't explain by physical mechanics how it could take place. All you can say is, look, I trust it was God, and just leave it to that. Put it in your book. Because if every one of us had a booklet like this, 34 pages here, 32 pages, 33, then, you know, all these people, 33 times 30, I mean, you're going to have 1,000 pages. You're going to have another book of Acts. And, you know, we're supposed to have another book of Acts in our church. So, all right. So the 27th time I was witness to the power of God was in 2012. I was in Argentina, and we were holding joint services for several churches at Brother Juan Palacios Church in Rumipal town, and Enrique Vila's church from Cordoba, the capital city, that came together in Rumipal. It was very hot. The church was so packed, about 300 plus people. The temperature outside was over 100. Their church was about the size of Brother Vale's. It was a good size. The temperature outside was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Plus, I had to take off my outer coat, my jacket, before I started to preach. I remember the same scene in 1997 in my church back in Kentucky. So when I prayed, I asked the Lord to drop the temperature by 30 degrees like he did for his children back home in 1997, because these people were also his children. Well, when I prayed that, then when we finished the sermon, we went to the fellowship hall, which is no more than about 20 feet of distance between buildings from the sanctuary. And by the time that we reached over there, the fellowship hall, the temperature changed and dropped 30 degrees. Now, all those brothers scrambled for their coats, and the visiting pastor's daughter, Enrique's daughter, said she was only like 17 or something at the time, and she stood shivering because she only wore a t-shirt, which had bling blings on it, and a skirt. And she said, I just knew that when you prayed that I didn't wear enough clothes today. So anyway, that was the 27th time. Now, the 28th time was in 2019. I was asked by Brother Bikina Phillips, a pastor in Uganda, who wished to hold a revival for a town that they wished to introduce the message to. It was raining, and he wrote to me on a Thursday night. He said, we're supposed to start the meeting tomorrow, and it's been raining ever since, and it's continuing to rain. It's not letting up. And if you've ever been in Uganda, you could have days on end of monsoons come through. All right. Well, the missionary revival was to begin on Friday, and they wanted the monsoon rains to stop so they could begin their revival. He remembered the stopping of the storm in Uganda, and so he wrote to me. I said, I will pray right now, so let me know when the rain stops. In other words, I was hoping to get immediate feedback, but I didn't hear nothing for a couple of weeks. And then I wrote to him, and I said, well, you know, whatever happened. Well, so we prayed, and the rain lifted, and they were able to hold their meetings on Friday. So he notified me right after the 4 days of preaching what God had did. Immediately after we had prayed, God lifted the rain and then brought it back the day the revival had ended. All right? Well, that's the way God works, you know. All right, now, number 29. The 29th time I witnessed the power of God, it happened in 2019. I was asked by a brother in Uganda to pray for rain as their crops were dying because of a drought. I believe it was Samson Lubogo. I asked him if he was in attendance when the storm was stopped, and he said yes. So I told him that God can do the same thing for him again, only this time he could give them rain. So we prayed together, and then God sent the rain within the very hour that we prayed. Now, the 30th time, I was witness to the power of God. I got a message from Malawi, Brother Webster Chitsulo, that the rain was so powerful that their crops were flooding. I agreed to pray for their situation, and God answered our prayers and stopped the storm and the rain, and stopped the rain and saving their crops from the storm. The 31st time, I witnessed the power of God. It was 5 o'clock, and I was working for Otis Elevator as a senior buyer. Gary Morgan, the other senior buyer, this is about 1982 or so. Gary Morgan, the other senior buyer, came to me, and he said, the rain won't let up, and we want to go home. He said, I know God answers your prayers, so would you mind asking him to allow the rain to let up for 5 minutes so we can get to our cars and go home without getting all wet? I said, let's just bow our heads right now, and we did on the spot. You know, you can't do that today. They'd probably fire you. But God answered our prayers immediately, and we got in our car, and as we were exiting the parking lot, the rain started up again. So he only gave us the 5 minutes that we asked him for. He gave us the 5 minutes back, and then break in rain, just long enough for us to get in our cars and go home. All right. The 32nd time I witnessed the power of God, I was with Brother Michael driving through Oklahoma, and we had bad rain. And as it came down so hard, we didn't know if we should pull over or not, because we didn't know how long it would come down, and we had to be on schedule because we're going to meet with Brother Alan McDougall for supper, and then drive after that to Brother Nathan Ducharme's in Texas. And then we stayed with him for a few days. We prayed for the rain to cease, and God lifted the rain from the road before us, and it rained on each side of the highway, but not on the road itself. So explain that, just like explain my wife and I driving through the tunnel where there's fog above us, fog on each side of us, but the road was completely clear. All right, now, the 34th time, and there has been countless other times, I prayed for God to stop rain so the brothers' crops and homes would be spared. And God answered those prayers. There's times coming from Uganda, other times in Malawi. Either I prayed for rain or I prayed to stop rain. But then the brothers told me an hour after I prayed that their prayer was answered. The 35th time, even a couple of years ago, my uncle called me and said a huge hurricane was headed for his house. And he called basically. He said, "I know that God answered your prayer, so I want you to pray for me." And so the hurricane turned an hour and a half after we prayed. The hurricane turned 90 degrees angle and avoided his home altogether. The same hurricane was going straight. And I told my sister I'd pray for her also, and I told Brother Ron Har that I would pray for him. And so it turned and it went into land, cross land. And the same hurricane was going straight for a brother's home in Florida, his brother Ron, and also my sister Beth's home. And the Tampa Bay had emptied out, and they were all afraid when it came in, it would actually come in with a fury and flood their homes. But it came back in very gently, and no damage was had. And my sister only lives 2 blocks from the Tampa Bay. So that was a miracle in itself. Now, the 36th time, in December of 2022, I had a stroke and was completely paralyzed for a few days. I was 50 over 30 and just about straight-lined, and my daughter Christina was visiting at that time and had to take charge because the nurses just stood around as if they'd never been through nursing school. I mean, it was kind of something to watch. Anyway, my other daughter came by after that, and I can thank the Lord for it because she was weeping, and I told her I just wanted to go home. But she said, "You promised that we would go together in the rapture." I said, "If I promised it, then I will do all that I can to keep my promise." The neurosurgeon told me and my wife and daughter that after reviewing my MRI, I should be dead, or at least a vegetable sucking my food through a straw. But I am a witness to the healing power of my God. The 37th time, 21 years ago, in 2002, I prayed for 4 people in Stephen Abali's church in Uganda who wanted to pray, on prayer because they were diagnosed with TB, tuberculosis. I called my friend Ben Caleb, who contacted Stephen Ibali this morning, actually this morning, and he says that in the last 21 years now, he is not aware of anyone who has ever died from TB. So these people made it. All right. Well, from the third Exodus, Brother Brown said, Elijah, the one of the greatest prophets of the age, only done four things supernatural in all his life of 80-some years. So, hey, Elijah was older than me when he went up. So hopefully I'll make it, all right? And Elisha, with a double portion, done only eight. And we see thousands of times thousands with our own eyes. Look at the angel of the Lord in the pillar of fire, scientific search, taking it into all the world, knowing that they're going to be judged by it. So we have witnessed the lame walking in South Dakota, the man paralyzed, who was, and we had prayed for him. Two discs were fused together, and we prayed, and God restored his spine. He walked again. We saw a diabetic man, gangrene foot, all muscles, tissue, all that was in his heel was all cut out, and God restored his foot. We prayed for the deaf to hear, and Sister Heidi's sister was healed in Australia. The deaf were raised. An Iowa mother died at the dinner table in Ohio, and after laying my lips to her lips, it was my mother-in-law, and breathing in, she came back to life. Now, people might say, well, that was just giving her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, revived her. Well, you know what? Then Elijah gave the boy mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and so did Elisha give the boy mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And so did Malachi gave mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And so did Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, a man had died of tuberculosis. I had to stuff his entrails in his mouth and then put my mouth on it. So, you see, if you know how God works in a pattern, you follow the pattern, and you have the same results, all right? Because he doesn't change. Now, we have the dead stick budded, which was debarked for 10 months. And after laying on it for 5 months, it budded and grew two leaves. We have a cancer of the uterus in a pregnant woman healed in Indiana. We have a baby born with a hip out of socket healed in Kentucky. We had a baby born in Kentucky with his head not growing together, grew back afterwards. We had an ITP patient. My own daughter was healed in Hamilton, Ohio. A man's dying of lung cancer healed in Kentucky. Tumors healed by Indiana man Guy Gillis. In prayer, after prayer. Neurotic healed and restored in their marriage in Poland. I don't even have that listed as like 30, this would be 38, all right? I never mentioned this one before, but I was with Brother Michael, and we were in Poland, and we had a healing line, and there was actually a woman who had been raped, and she was in neurosis, and she was healed in that prayer line. Then there was a man with 30 years with an ulcer. He was also healed in Poland. And a man there who had asthma for 28 years and even asked Michael to give him some medication to help him. Remember that? Because, you know, he knew your wife was a nurse. So he asked for medication, but he was healed. So the power over the weather turned the temperature down 30 degrees in 1 hour's time. And that took place both in Kentucky and in Argentina. A storm was stopped in Uganda. Horizontal rainbow appeared over the church in DRC. Hurricane turned directions, etc. TB cured in four believers in Uganda. And no doubt there are many more that I just haven't come to my remembrance. But let's just praise God, and let's just pray that we could give him all the glory that he would do for each of us. Like I told my grandson when he came out this morning, and we're standing in the back, and he's the great. He said, I really enjoy that, Grandpa. And I said, well, if you are the same age I was, so if you would just be a witness to what God is doing and tell him that you're going to witness, if God does something, you're going to witness to everybody, then God will do things so that you do witness so that he gets the glory. You see, this is not about Brian Kosorek. It's about a man who has said, I'm going to be a witness. It's like Brother Brown. I'm going to be a witness and look at all the things in his life he did. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful things that you have done. There's over 40 of them, and Elijah only had four, and we're thankful for those four. And we know that Elisha had eight, and yet this is four times that eight. So, and actually five times the eight. And so, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you've done all these things, and you will continue to. I don't believe for one minute that you have stopped. I'm looking for a resurrection, and I'm looking for a rapture, and I know those are both supernatural things. And so I know I have at least two more things coming, but, Lord, we may have more things. You know, my health has been restored, and so we have much more to offer you. So, Father, we just thank you. For just being with us all these 70 years. And it seems like more than every 2 years, maybe every one point some years, you've done something supernatural in my life. So I want to thank you for that. And just that we could be a witness to what a glory that you have shown us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But we thank God. You know, I thank God that my healing and everything I think it's complete. I really do. I think the only thing is I'm just old. So, you know, I couldn't run. At 65 years old, I couldn't run either. And I couldn't jump. I haven't been able to jump my whole life. I mean, I was a young athlete and I could do a backflip, no problem. But I couldn't jump 18 inches off the ground. So, you know, white man can't jump, I guess. But God can. So,